Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of Charter Apostolic Sabbath Training Congregation, Mount Zion, South Tower in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is May 20, 2014, or as if 2018, we will start our second service on this day with a song entitled, Yahshua Took My Burden. When I Apollos sent before the Yah did fall, in the name of Yahshua for pardon I did call. He heard my supplication, and soon the weak were strong. For Yahshua took my burden and left me with a song. Yes, Yahshua took my burden, I could no longer bear. Yahshua took my burden and answered to my prayer. My anxious fear subsided, my spirit was made strong. Yahshua took my burden and left me with a song. Of times away is dreary, and rugged seems the road. Of times I'm weak and weary, when bent beneath some load. But when I cry in weakness, how long, O Yah, how long? Then Yahshua took my burden, and leaves me with a song. Yes, Yahshua took my burden, I can no longer bear. Yes, Yahshua took my burden, in answer to my prayer. My anxious fear subsided, my spirit was made strong. Yahshua took my burden, and left me with a song. I was crushed with sorrow, I bowed in deep despair. My load of grief and heartache seemed more than I could bear. 'Twas then I heard a whisper, you to the Yah belong. Then Yahshua took my burden and left me with a song. Yes, Yahshua took my burden, I could no longer bear. Yes, Yahshua took my burden, and answered to my prayer. My anxious fear subsided, my spirit was made strong. For Yahshua took my burden, and left me with a song. I trust Him for the future, He knoweth all the way. With His eye He'll guide me along life's pilgrim way. And I will tell in heaven, all ages road hath long, how Yahshua took my burden and left me with a song. Yes, Yahshua took my burden, I could no longer bear. Yes, Yahshua took my burden, in answer to my prayer. My anxious fear subsided, my spirit was made strong. Yahshua took my burden, and left me with the song.
Part 2, Captivity and Restoration, Type and Antitype, by the Verlo Study Johnson. We're on page 7 of this track. We're going to do just a little review, as we always do, from the study before. It says, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian, Daniel 6:28. But in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus made a decree to build this house of the Yahweh, Ezra 5:13. Now, Daniel's prayer had been offered in the first year of Darius, the Median monarch, whose general, Cyrus, had wrested from the Babylonian the scepter of the universal rule. For the reign of the Darius was honored of the Yahweh. Unto him was sent the angel Gabriel to confirm and to strengthen him upon his death within about 2 years of the fall of the Babylon. For the Cyrus succeeded unto the throne, and the beginning of his reign marked the completion of the 70 years since the first company of the Hebrews had been taken by the Nebuchadnezzar from their Judean home to Babylon. Prophets and Kings 5:56. In 605 B.C. is with the beginning of the Judas captivity. Less 70 years equals 535 B.C. For the end of the Judas captivity and for the complete fall of the Babylon. Now in the first year of the Cyrus, king of the Persia, that the word of Yahweh by the mouth of the Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in the writing, saying, thus saith the Cyrus, king of the Persia, the Yahweh Elohim of the heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at the Jerusalem, which is in Judah, Ezra 1:1-2. Now I'm going to make a comment on what we just read. When the house of Israel, the tribe of Judah, the house of David, was delivered from their Babylonian captivity, that marked the downfall of Babylon's complete fall. Okay, so as soon as Judah is delivered, and just that quick, Babylon fell. So today, Babylon is right now in charge, and Yahweh's people are in captivity. Okay, as soon as Yahweh's people are delivered, and you find that deliverance there in Daniel 12:1, when Michael stands up to deliver his saints, as soon as that takes place, then you're going to have Babylon's complete fall in the Antichrist. Okay, in 535 B.C., the first decree by the Cyrus, king of the Persia, was given to build the Yahweh and house at the Jerusalem, and a great number of the people returned under or with the leadership of Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua, the high priest, and that was Joshua, the son of Josedek, not Joshua, the son of Nun. There were the goodly remnant, about 50,000 strong, from among the Jews in the lands of the exile, upon the Zerubbabel, a descendant of the king David. Cyrus placed the responsibility of the acting as the governor of the company returning unto Judea, and with him was associated Joshua, the high priest, prophets and kings, page 559. Then ceased the work of the house of Elohim, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of the Darius, king of Persia, Ezra 4:24. Then Darius, the king, made a decree, and a search was made in the house of the rolls, where the treasures were laid up in the Babylon. Let the work of this house of the Elohim alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of the Elohim in his place. Moreover, I make a decree of what you shall do unto the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of the Yahweh. Also, I have made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. I, Darius, have made a decree, let it be done with speed. Ezra 6:1, 7, 8, 11, and 12. Then the prophets Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in the Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the Yahweh of the Israel, or Yeshua of the Israel, even unto them, Ezra 5:1. In 521 B.C., the second decree to build the Yeshua house at Jerusalem was given by Darius, king of the Persians, and the work prospered under the leadership, or with the leadership, of the Haggai and Zechariah. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar. Was in the sixth year of the reign of the Darius the king, and the children of the Israel, the priests and the Levites, and the rest of the children of the captivity kept the dedication of the house of the Elohim with the joy, Ezra 6:15-16. The dedication took place in 515 B.C., Artaxerxes, king of the kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the Elohim of the heaven, with the perfect peace, and at such a time I make a decree that all they of the people of the Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee, and I, Artaxerxes, the king, do make a decree unto all the treasurers which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the Elohim of the heavens, shall require of you, it be done speedily to beautify the house of Yahweh, which is in Jerusalem. Ezra 7:12-13, 21-27. In 457 B.C., which was in the seventh year of the reign of the Artaxerxes, king of Persia, the third decree was made, and the work was accomplished with the leadership of Ezra, a scribe of the law of the Moses. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of the Artaxerxes, the king, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldst send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it, so it pleased the king to send me, and I shid him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me unto the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. So I came unto Jerusalem, and was there 3 days. Then went I up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in. How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with the fire. Come and let us build up the wall of the Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days, and at the dedication of the wall of the Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places, to bring them unto Jerusalem, to keep the dedication with the gladness, both with the thanksgiving and with the singing. Nehemiah 2:1-5:7, 11:15-17, 6:15-12:27. In 444 B.C., in the 20th year of the Artaxerxes' reign, just 13 years after the third decree, Nehemiah was granted a commission to rebuild the walls and gates of at the Jerusalem. Verily, in all this time, was not I at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of the Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king, and I came unto Jerusalem, and understood of the evil that the Eliashib, did for Tobiah in the preparing him a chamber in the course of the house of the Elohim, and it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of Yahweh, with meat offering and the frankincense for the Levites and the singers that did the work, were fled everyone to his field. In those days saw I and Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victory. There dwelt men of the tower also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and did not speak in the Jews' language, but according unto the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by the Elohim, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their son, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Nehemiah 13:6-10, 15:16, 23-25. In 432 B.C., the 32nd year of Artaxerxes' reign, Nehemiah was granted a second commission to continue his work in Jerusalem. And to carry this picture further, let us turn to the prophecy of Daniel. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore that, understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the prince, it shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Daniel 9:24-25. According to Numbers 14:34, each day for a year, and Ezekiel 4:6, I have appointed thee each day for a year. A day in the prophecy equals 1 year. So from the proclamation of the third decree by the Artaxerxes in 457 B.C., minus 7 weeks or 49 years equal 408 B.C., thus Jerusalem was completely rebuilt in 408 B.C., and after the 60, in 2 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Daniel, I believe it says 2:26. No, that's 9:26. Okay. 408 B.C. minus 62 weeks, or 434 years, equals 27 A.D., for the year that the Messiah was anointed. From 444 B.C., the rebuilding of the wall and gates at the Jerusalem by the Nehemiah, to 27 A.D., equals 470 years. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desert. Daniel 9:27. For the Asher was baptized and anointed in 27 A.D., and then tempted by the Satan for 40 days in the wilderness. He chose 11 disciples and preached for 3.5 years. At the end of his earthly ministry, he instituted the Yahshua's Supper to take the place of the Passover. He was crucified on a Friday in the midst of the week. 7 years of the Daniel 9:27 was buried and rose again. He witnessed and taught for the 40 days, Acts 1:3. After his resurrection and then ascended to into heaven with his resurrected trophies, 10 days later on the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell on the 120, Acts 1:15, who were perfectly united. Thus the kingdom, purified church, was established and grew daily. So Yahshua was anointed in 27 A.D., the beginning of the week, was crucified in 31 A.D. in the midst of the week, and the end of the first 3.5 years, and the last 3.5 years of the week, ended in 34 A.D. with the stoning of Stephen, and the gospel going unto the Gentiles. Thus the 70 weeks of the Daniel 9:24 ended in 34 A.D. Destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. And when you shall see Jerusalem accomplished with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein. Luke 21:20. Terrible were the calamities that fell upon Jerusalem when the siege was resumed by the Titus. The city was invested at the time of the Passover, when millions of Jews were assembled within its walls. Great Controversy 31:2. In October 66 A.D., when Cestus came against the city, but for some unaccountable reason suddenly withdrew his army from it, and the Christians discerned in this the sign foretold by the Yahshua and fled. After the departure of Cestus, Josephus and his wars of the Jews, chapter 20 says that many of the most eminent of the Jews swam away from the city as from a ship when it is going to sink. It is a remarkable fact that in the siege which occurred with the Titus 3.5 years later, not a single Christian is known to have lost his life, while 1,100,000 Jews are said to have perished in it. Here is a most striking lesson on the value and importance of the studying and believing the prophecies, and give heed unto the signs of the times. Bible readings 3:13. Okay, let me say again, in October 66 A.D., the Romans began their attacks against Jerusalem, and 3.5 years later, the overthrow of the city and of the Jewish nation followed. And in the notable 5 months siege with the Titus in the spring and the summer of the 70 A.D., Bible readings, page 313. Since the non-Christian Jews had died in the destruction of the Jerusalem, and since the Christian Jews were organized into the Apostolic Church, we must therefore follow these events aright in order to follow the chain of the prophetic history and the footsteps of the Elohim people. We must follow prophecy in its progressive order. Therefore, we must realize that the prophecy is a more sure word, 2 Peter 1:19. Thus, to carry on from here, we must pick up another prophecy. 2300 days and the Dark Ages. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of the desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, under 2300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Daniel 8:13, 14. As the 70 weeks of Daniel 9:24 are a part of the 2300 days of the Daniel 8:14, we must look for their beginning. This is found in Daniel 9:25, with the command to restore and build Jerusalem. This command was given by Artaxerxes in 457 B.C. Thus, both the 70 weeks and the 2300 years began in 457 B.C. The 70 weeks or 490 years ended in 34 A.D. with the stoning of Stephen, and the 2300 days or years ended at the Atonement in 1844. The next important prophetic period to consider within the 2300 days after 70 A.D. is the 1260 years of the Dark Ages of Daniel 7, 8, 21, and 25. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the horns of a man, and the mouth speaking great things. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until the time and times, and the dividing of time. According unto the prophetic interpretation, and the 360-day biblical year, time 1 year equals 360 days, times 2 years equals 720 days, dividing of the time 1 half year equals 180 days, thus 360 plus 720 plus 180 equals 1260 days or years. During this period of the Dark Ages, times and laws were changed by the little horn power, that's the Roman Catholic institution, such as, number one, at the beginning of the day from sunset to midnight, number two, the beginning of the month from the new moon to any day, number three, the beginning of the year from the vernal equinox, March 17, Gregorian time, to January 1, number four, the seventh day Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, and number five, she ordained unholy feast days, such as Easter, St. Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Halloween, Christmas, etc., to counterfeit Elohim's holy feast, which are recorded in Leviticus 23. The following quote proves my claim. For the new law has its own spirit and its own feast, which have taken the place of those appointed in the law of Moses. If we would know the days to be observed, we must go to the Catholic Church, not to the Mosaic Law. Cardinal Gibbons from the Catholic Catechism, the Bible points out that this hornhead power was to continue 1260 years. This system began in 538 A.D. with the rise of the Roman Catholic institution to power in the matters of both religious and civil authority. 538 A.D. plus 1260 years brings us to, up to 1798 A.D. until the end of the Dark Ages, when the French General Berthier captured the Pope and put him in prison, where he died. But this system is called Babylon, and those who follow her system are her daughters, Revelation 17:5. Both she and her daughters are called Babylon, because Babylon means confusion. What are they confused on? Biblical doctrine. Now you understand what happens whenever you go, when you lose your way, as Brother Johnson did at the end of his ministry. He ended up right there with them. He had confusion of doctrine. He had nothing but total confusion. And that was sad to see how this thing can really work with someone that's been given the truth in the beginning, and watch them completely slowly slide until they finally just slide completely out. Let's continue. For this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, that their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In Matthew 15:8-9. But the foregoing information shows that during the Dark Ages, when the ecclesiastical Rome ruled the world, both the Christian Jew, 2 tribes, and Christian Israel, 10 tribes, went into modern Babylonian captivity. So where are they today? Okay, we're going to go into a summary of the type. Number one, 721 B.C., Israel, 10 tribes, went into the Assyrian captivity and have yet to be gathered. Number two, 605 to 585 B.C., Judah was taken into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Number three, 535 B.C., the 70-year Babylonian captivity ended. 535 B.C., the first decree made by Cyrus for Judah to return to Jerusalem under the leadership of Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua the high priest. Number five, 520 B.C., the second decree made by Darius for the return of Judah unto Jerusalem to build the Yeshua a house or a temple. And number 6, 515 B.C., the temple was completed and dedicated. 457 B.C., the third decree made by Artaxerxes for Judah to go back to Jerusalem to beautify the house of Elohim under the leadership of Ezra, a scribe of the law and of Moses. Number 8, 444 B.C., the first commission given by Artaxerxes unto Nehemiah to rebuild the wall and gates. Number 9, 432 B.C., the second commission given by Artaxerxes unto Nehemiah to return unto Jerusalem and set up the true worship. Developing the antitype with the work of Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah in the restoration of the Jerusalem, the temple, and a true worship was a picture or type of a spiritual restoration that is to take place in our day. Now that the type has been fully established, let us develop the antitype. For the work of the Elohim in the earth presents from age to age a striking similarity in every great reformation or religious movement. The principles of the Elohim dealing with the men are ever the same, for the important movements of the present have their parallel in those of the past, and the experience of the church in the former ages has lessons of great value for our own time. Great Controversy, page 343. Question: what are these important movements, and what valuable lessons can we learn from those of the past? This can only be accomplished by a thorough study of the past, for it is a proven fact that modern Israel, SDA, is repeating the history of the ancient Israel, C5T, page 160. Thus, we must realize that since modern Israel is made up of the 12 tribes, we would have to study the history of the ancient Israel when the 12 tribes were together. Henceforth, we must go back to their beginning, the call of the Abraham, which was about 1921 B.C. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass that at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that as the host of the Yahweh went out from the land of Egypt, Exodus in 12:40 and 41, this shows a 430-year period of the sojourn from the call of Abraham unto the deliverance of the children of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or added thereto. Now unto Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not and unto seed as of many, but as of one, and unto thy seed, which is Yahshua, And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before the Elohim and the Yahshua, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. Galatians 3:15-17. Now I'd like to make a point here. In 1930 is the parallel with Israel coming out of Egypt, with Moses going down and getting them away from Pharaoh and out of Egypt. Where were the children of Israel today in 1930? They were in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And what did we learn about the Adventist Church by 1930? That they had turned back from following Yahshua, their Savior, and were steadily retreating back toward Egypt. And Ellen G. White made the comment that they had safely made it back by 1890. They had completed their journey back to spiritual Egypt. So when the Shepherd Rod came on the scene in 1930, then what did they do? The leader, V.T. Holliff, came out of the Adventist Church as a member, and he came out with a new message and to give back to the Mother Church that was in spiritual Egypt. And so, once again, in the Antitype, the deliverance then began in our day of delivering the purified saints into the purified kingdom, started in 1930 with the V.T. Holliff. Okay, now it says, these scriptures point out that the 430-year prophecy to Abraham ended with the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. While Exodus 12:41 shows that the 430 years ended the day that they left Egypt. Thus we would have to conclude that the giving of the law began in Egypt at their deliverance and ended at the Sinai. Okay. And he said unto Abram, and know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Genesis 15:13. Here we see a 400-year period of the affliction. Since their affliction ended with their deliverance, we must realize that their affliction began 30 years after the call of Abraham. For this date must be dealt with because it divides the 430-year period from Abraham's call unto the Sinai into two periods. Number one, a 30-year period. Number two, a 400-year period of the affliction. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her unto her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And the angel of the Yahweh said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Yahweh hath heard thy affliction. Genesis 16:3. Herein is revealed that Hagar, Sarah's maid, was with Abraham's child 10 years after his call. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of the Haran, Genesis 12:4. 75 plus 10 equals 85. Thus Abraham was 85 years old when Ishmael was born. According unto Genesis 21:5, Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac, the son of promise, was born, and Ishmael was 15 years old when Isaac was born. Compare Genesis 12:4 with Genesis 21:5. According unto Genesis chapter 17 and 21 and the historical record, Ishmael was 20 years old when Isaac was weaned and given a feast by Abraham, Genesis 21:8. And according unto Genesis 21:9-14, Hagar and Ishmael were sent away, he being 20 years old and Isaac 5 years old. To summarize, we begin with the call of Abraham plus 10 years gives us the birth of Ishmael, plus another 15 years gives us the birth of Isaac, plus another 5 years to the sending away of the Hagar, and Ishmael gives us 30 years. Thus, 10 plus 15 plus 5 equals 30 years from the call of Abraham to the persecution of Isaac, which points out the beginning of the 400 years of the affliction. Abraham taught the doctrine, the just shall live by the faith. Martin Luther also taught this doctrine, for the just shall live by the faith. Thus, Abraham and Martin Luther are called the fathers of the faith, and it is seen that Abraham and the world in his time find their counterparts in the Luther and the world in his time. Henceforth, the question, where does the 30 years from the call of Abraham parallel with Martin Luther's work? Martin Luther was called in 1500 A.D. with his discovery of the Bible. 30 years later brings us to 1530 A.D. But what happened during those 30 years? Luther studied and preached the Bible, resulting in the Augsburg Confession, a document adopted as a Protestant creed and presented at the Diet of Augsburg to the Emperor Charles V in 1530. But Abraham's decision to live for Elohim instead of the world, as it was an error, coincides with Luther's decision to become a priest instead of a lawyer. From the time Sarah protested to the time Moses was born, the hope of Israel's deliverance, there was 320 years. In the Antitype, you add 320 years to 1530 A.D., it would bring you to 1850, the year which gave birth to the first testimonies for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and it was addressed to the 144,000 Israel of today. Therefore, the birth of Moses, the hope of ancient Israel, finds its counterpart in the birth of the first testimony, the hope of the modern Israel.
As we continue with these corresponding events, we remember that Moses, at the age of the 40, attempted to deliver ancient Israel, but he failed and had to flee. Adding these 40 years in the Antitype to 1850 A.D. brings us to 1890. At this time, the Seventh-day Adventist denomination organized a National Religious Liberty Association, which likewise failed to fulfill this purpose. 1890 was the year in which the whole SDA denomination finally rejected the message of righteousness and justification by the faith given by the elders Jones and Wagner in 1888. As a result, in 1890, the SDA Church entered into a 40-year wilderness wandering period, which parallels with Moses' 40-year wilderness wandering in the land of Midian. That was in his second 40-year period of his life, when he fled from Pharaoh, where he was raised up in the palace of the king for 40 years. He fled from Pharaoh into the land of Midian, where he took a wife from Jethro, Zipporah, Ethiopian, and that's where he herded sheep for 40 years. 40 years after Moses failed to deliver Israel and had to flee, he was sent back by the Yahweh to deliver Israel with a rod. By the adding these 40 years in the Antitype to 1890 A.D., we come to the 1930, the year in which the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, was first published. Thus, Moses, called to deliver ancient Israel with the rod, coincides with the arrival of the Shepherd's Rod to deliver modern Israel, SDA. So with this information pointed out here by Brother Stevie Johnson, it shouldn't be too hard to realize type and antitype here in this instance would show Moses being the antitypical, Vitiholic being the antitypical Moses. And the rod that Vitiholic used was the antitypical rod of Moses. not the David rod, because the David rod hadn't been developed yet. Anyway, Vitihalaf named his movement, his people, the Davidian Seventh-day Adventists. All right enough. Well, Moses is a shepherd with a rod, and David was a shepherd with a rod. The rod in both cases means an authority for Yahweh's government. Okay, from the call of Abraham unto the birth of the Jacob was 85 years. And from the beginning of the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, and Mrs. E.G. White's first transvision, 1844-45, to the call of Vitihalaf and the birth of the shepherd's rod, 1929-30, there were also 85 years. Thus, it is easy to see that the typical 430 years from the call of Abraham unto the time of Moses with the rod delivered ancient Israel out of the Egypt matches the antithetical 430 years from the call of Martin Luther, 1500 A.D., until the year of 1930, in which the shepherd rod proclaimed the sealing of the 144,000 and the deliverance of the modern Israel from the deliverance of the ancient Israel with the rod until the death of Moses, Deuteronomy 34:7, and the call of Joshua was 40 years. By adding these 40 years in the Antitype and the 1930 A.D., we come to the 1970 and the call of the antitypical Joshua. Thus, 1970 matches the call of typical Joshua with the call of antitypical Joshua of Vertus W. Johnson. Without question, these facts show us where we are in the prophetic history. This is shown by the typical 430 years from the call of Abraham to Moses, deliverance of the ancient Israel out of the Egypt, and the antitypical 430 years from the call of Luther until the modern Israel's deliverance with the shepherd's rod in 1930. In Ezekiel chapter 4, we have another 430-year prophecy, which also began in 1500 A.D. with the call of Martin Luther. Although it does not have as many details as the typical 430 years from Abraham to Moses, it does point out three important dates. Number one, the call of Martin Luther in 1500 A.D. Number two, the 390 years, Ezekiel 4-5, from 1500 to 1890 A.D., the year in which the Seventh-day Adventist denomination completely rejected the message of the righteousness and justification by the faith. And I'd like to make a point here. Brother Johnson just blanketed the whole Adventist church for rejecting that message of joining the matter, but they didn't all reject it. It was only those that were the terrors that was influenced by the Jesuit leaders of the General Conference that rejected it. Those that were loyal to Ellen G. White, when she made the statement there in the pulpit one day, held up the hands of these men. She said, "Receive these men, believe their message, for they have an additional message of what I've already brought," and many people believed them. Let's continue. And number three, the 40 years, Ezekiel 4:6, from 1890 to 1930, the birth of the shepherd rod. The Ezekiel 4 prophecy is very important to us because it is a part of the prophetic history, and it points out that the Reformers, which is a guideline in the developing of the present truth, that tells us where we are in the prophetic history. Hence, we have two 430-year prophecies beginning at the same time, 1500 A.D., and ending at the same time, 1930. Although they begin and end at the same time, they still have some overlapping dates, and each date points out a specific event. In order to tie the typical and the antitypical 430-year prophecy together, we must realize that the historical record shows a 491-year period from Sinai to 1 A.D., then 31 years to the cross, and then 1,500 years from 1 A.D. to Luther's call. Because of the Luther's call, the Dark Ages, or 1,260 years of the papal persecution, were cut short in the righteousness, Romans 9:28. As Elohim had promised, the Dark Ages, 538 A.D. to 1798 A.D., were a period of the severe persecution and even death for the Elohim's people. It just ended some 35 years before the call of the William Miller in 1833. We shall now see how Rome's power was broken by the reestablishment of the Christian doctrines, which had been lost during the Dark Ages, in Ezekiel 4:9, is a list of the six grains which Ezekiel was to eat from time to time for 390 days or years. These grains represent spiritual truths which were restored starting with the Reformation. Number one, the doctrine of the faith wheat was restored by the Martin Luther starting in 1500 A.D. And number two, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit barley was restored by the John Knox in 1543. And number three, the doctrine of the grace beans was restored by the John Wesley in 1725. And number four, the doctrine of the baptism lentils was restored by the Alexander Campbell in 1810. For the next two grains, millet and finches, represent the calls of William Miller and Mrs. E.G. White, which will be discussed in greater detail later on. With the proclamation of these truths and the acceptance of them, the religious power of the papacy was broken. Thus the Dark Age period ended in 1798 with the capture and imprisonment by the French General Berthier of the Pope, who died while in the prison. Since then, there has not been a church and state system of that magnitude, or power and magnitude, but Revelation chapters 13 and 17 tell of the reestablishment of this world power and persecuting system in our day. Only those who accept Elohim's ever-advancing truth and follow it will escape this church-state persecution system to be set up in our day. I must say that this day is fast approaching, especially since the United States made full diplomatic ties with the Vatican on January the 10th, 1984. This brought the total of the countries which have full diplomatic relations with the papacy up to 107. Yes, prophecy is fast being fulfilled as foretold by John the Revelator some 1900 years ago, but how dumb can the nations get to want to return under this dreadful system that ruled during the Dark Ages? How deceived, how uninformed. Now it has come to be an individual matter. The Yahweh and His truth are the only way out. Won't you choose to follow Him now? Please let me hear from you. Your soul is at stake, believe me. Now that the establishment of the Israel and the type and antitype by the 430-year prophecies and the Reformation is behind us, let us pick up with the date 1833, for it sets the stage for the spiritual restoration, for the antitype of the work of the Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. I must say that William Miller, like the Daniel, played a very important role in the preparing of the Elohim's people for the coming out of the Babylonian captivity, for it is a proven fact that Elohim always prepares his people for a set event before it is time for it to take place. It is a known fact that Elohim, through the Daniel, informed his people that their captivity was for 70 years and that that period was about up. Thus, leaders and some of the people were prepared for their return to Jerusalem. Likewise, also, Elohim, through the William Miller, beginning in 1833, started preparing the people for the great event that was to take place in 1844, in the Day of the Atonement, and for the cleansing of the sanctuary, and for the hour of His judgment. Thus we see that the work of the Miller had its counterpart in the work of the Daniel. In the Daniel's day, typical Judah was in the Babylonian captivity. In William Miller's day, antitypical Judah was in the spiritual Babylonian captivity. In the Daniel's day, Judah was nearing the end of their captivity. In the Miller's day, antitypical Judah was nearing the end of their captivity. In the Daniel's day, a call was given to leave Babylon and to build the temple. In Miller's day, a call was given to come out of the Babylon and to build a temple, church. In the days of Daniel, 50,000 responded to the call. See Ezra 2. In Miller's day, about 50,000 responded to the call. In the summer of 1844, about 50,000 withdrew from the churches. Great Controversy, page 376. What greater proof does one need to show the beginning of Israel and the Antitype than such perfect parallel events? Absolutely none. Since the Antitype follows the type perfectly, therefore let us get with the LNS program, lest we miss the most the boat completely. It is plain to see that the urgent message entitled The Midnight Cry, which was given after the call to come out of the Babylon, had its counterpart in the urgent message that was given by the Joshua, the high priest, and Zerubbabel unto the typical Judah after the decree was made by the Cyrus to leave Babylon. In 1833, William Miller was called unto the prophetic office and given two prophetic messages. Number one, under 2,300 days, and shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Daniel 8:14. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and unto every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear Elohim and give glory unto him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of the water. Revelation 14:6-7. By these prophetic messages, William Miller prepared antitypical Judah to obey the call made by the second angel to come out of Babylon in 1844. Let no one be deceived. The facts are too plain. For the work of the second angel was to show unto the Advent host that Babylon had fallen. And as a large portion of them did not learn this fact until the power of the midnight cry waked them up just in time for them to make their escape from the churches before the 10th day came on, it follows that the second angel brought us to the seventh month, 1844, and you'll find that in the Word of the Little Flock, page 11. For the question now arises, who are the antitypical Israelites and where are they? This is a good question, and it does demand a clarification. We do know that there are many unfulfilled prophecies concerning the spiritual Israel as well as the Israel after flesh and their return unto their homeland, to become one nation upon the mountains of Israel. This brings to close our study this time. Contact us at the 11th hour call. We're going to close this message now with a song. Blessed assurance, Yahshua is mine. Blessed assurance, Yahshua is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, curses of Yah, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, roaring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.